This is KRCB's North Bay Report. I'm Bruce Robinson. Over the past 15 years, law enforcement across the country has embraced the use of the taser, described by the maker as a non-lethal electronic control device. It fires a metal barb connected by wire to the taser, which delivers a burst of electricity that disrupts the body's internal electrical pulses. Sonoma County Sheriff Bill Cogbill believes tasers are such an effective tool that they are now issued to all his department's deputies.
I'm so convinced, based on the data of both medical and practical, the use of the tasers have really helped avoid injuries and death to officers as well as suspects. It's devastating. You can't fight. You can't do anything. You go down, and you can't resist. You really don't want to do it again. And therein lies why we're seeing such good results in less people getting hurt, because a baton does leave marks. Using a dog, they do bite marks, and the taser doesn't. It's temporary. It goes away.
But not always. Some tasered individuals react badly, especially when shocked repeatedly. And the number of cases in which the device has been implicated in a fatality is growing. A 2005 study by the ACLU of Northern California found 148 cases in North America where individuals had died after having been tasered. Mark Schlossberg, the author of the report, says the problem is usage creep. Tasers are being used too often in too many kinds of situations.
They're being marketed as a use of force measure that can be used in a wide range of circumstances, not just as an alternative to deadly force. We're concerned that the taser is going to become not just a substitute for a firearm, but a substitute for verbal persuasion, for less intensive force measures and persuasion measures, and may actually end up proliferating the use of force without proper regulation.
That concern, Schlossberg says, is driven largely by the aggressive marketing efforts of Taser International, the near-monopolistic manufacturer of the devices.
The way that they've promoted it, basically saying that it's safer than Tylenol, is not very responsible.
The company has also adamantly disputed any suggestion that their product might have contributed to the deaths of individuals who were tasered, arguing that such factors as drug use, pre-existing medical conditions, or other stresses were entirely responsible. Sheriff Cogbill tends to agree.
In a very, very small percent, less than 1% of the use of the taser, you might have somebody react and die as a result of the confrontation with police and what's going on inside their body. If this person's high on drugs or psychotic or something, and you're fighting them and they've got their core temperature up and their pulse and everything up, that's the same as if you tasered them, because it does the same thing to the body. So in either case, whether you use a taser or physically fought them or use a baton on them, they most likely would have died from that confrontation.
But Mark Schlossberg counters even those cases would be less likely to arise if taser use was restricted to specific circumstances.
That they be limited in the number and duration of shocks that are administered, that there be even stronger regulations to protect vulnerable populations such as young people, elderly, and that there be training developed independent of the training manufactured by Taser International.
Just last month, a federal jury in San Jose awarded $6 million to the family of a man who died after being tasered repeatedly by police officers there. I'm Bruce Robinson reporting for KRCB News.